The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse.
The beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the heartland of America, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our humble bunker. A little bit soggy, but we're happy to have the rain.
Amen to that. Today is September the 20th. Already?
No, today is September the 18th. It's my sister Anne's birthday, and why I've got to remember the 18th. Now,
I was looking at the
22nd
calendar.
Is another sister's birthday. We won't get into that, but happy birthday, Faye, when that shows up. And it's a Ferguson, to-do. We partied hardy in September.
And presumably in January, too.
Well, somebody was partying in January, but we won't go into that.
Yes. Oh, I was, okay.
And February, since someone else shows up in October.
It's a family full of love. There's no question about that.
Six daughters, a lot of loving going on.
Well, we hope the same is true in your house. Full of love, that is. And
absolutely. Speaking of love, you and I found a congregation here in town that is so full of love. I got to tell you, it was like home for me there. I really felt like I was among friends and family. Mm-hmm. The very first moment we walked in.
Yeah, it is. We've talked about it often, not frequently, but every now and again. Just mentioned that we've been searching for a church home, and I think today that we found it. So praise God for that. It was doctrinally sound and just full of wonderful, loving people. And by some bizarre coincidence, possibly with a couple of very distant cousins of mine in the congregation.
Yeah, they might be, actually. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Family name is rather unusual and one of many in my family tree. But as far as we know, they all trace back to one immigrant in the mid-1600s. So possibly very distant cousins. So that's kind of a cool thing.
I know it. And it's such a good thing to find a congregation to spend some time with. Mm-hmm. You and I haven't had that for a long, long time. And I know many of our listeners honestly run into the same problem. Hold on. I've got to mute this. Is this muted?
Don't know. I don't think so. She's got the little netbook out that we...
trying to figure out where the sound is. It's not muted. Let me turn it down.
Yeah, we picked up for the conference back in Branson, which was actually what generated the sound for the live webcasts that we broadcast from the Future Congress in Branson, Missouri, back in July.
Serving up everything that you heard as far as,
bumper music,
intro, and outro. Yeah.
Yeah, and some of the announcements that we used to kind of break up the hour.
It was doing a great job. Sorry to seem so distracted. I was really trying to figure out what was, because I don't use this little machine very often. I love this little machine, and some of you have asked me what it was that we were using in Branson, what we're referring to, and it is an Acer Aspire. I think you can get them in Walmart now for under $300, around the $279 mark. So, we really, really like it.
Yeah, the Lord provided for us. It was something we were looking at. We were actually looking at tablets because, tablets seems to be the form factor du jour.
Something that would easily slip into my purse, be terribly heavy,
something
and had long battery life.
Yeah, and allow to live blog or tweet the event while we're there for people who couldn't be there. And we looked at the tablets that are out there, and of course, the iPads start at, $600 and go up from there?
Well, pretty much, and I know that they're touch screens, so that gets, that's a lot of the expense. But the other thing that I kept looking at is, okay, do I really want to have something that I have to carry around in both hands, have to really kind of protect? Excuse me again. Sorry, I just ate, so. Well, there you go. But this thing, it's the same size as a tablet, mm-hmm. but you have a lid that you can close, so it's you're not going to have to worry about it. And I tell you what, the way it's designed, it's almost like it's got a little handle. on the one side because of the way the hinge is made.
Right.
There is a little bump along. It's almost like a notebook. It's almost like carrying a notebook in school, but it's about 10 inches.
It's about a 10-inch screen, 10.1.
Yeah, something like that. So highly recommend it. Its battery life is awesome.
Yes.
Like about 7 hours.
And because it's a Windows operating system, not that we're big fans of Microsoft, but it does give you an interface that you're familiar with, and you can create all of the standard document formats and so forth.
But honestly, if you need something to do Photoshop or some really,
That's not the machine.
Processor intensive machine, this isn't built for that. It's a netbook. It does have all sorts of little goodies on it as far as attachments. One thing it wasn't able to do was actually do our presentation.
No. We could have, but it didn't have an HDMI out.
We could have figured something. But anyway, it's a great machine. We get nothing for recommending this thing.
That's true.
Don't think that. It's just, we know you guys are on the lookout for affordable, ways to get access to the internet. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
And seriously, this for people who are just looking to if you're just looking for something to interact via the internet, which is how, frankly, sort of this virtual church connects.
Mm-hmm. It's got a webcam on it.
It's got a webcam. But if you just need access to email and the internet for Facebook or podcasts or whatever, this is a very affordable alternative to a laptop.
Exactly, because you can listen to all audio formats. You can watch Flash and all other audio video formats. So it's really getting you where you need to go. So anyway, I hope we've sold you on it, because honestly, I don't go on and on about a product very often, but I am really impressed with this little computer, my little Acer.
Well, the big thing this week, at least as far as we were concerned,
other than watching Glenn Beck for 5 days.
Well,
the things I do for you guys. I love you. I love you. The only reason I was watching Beck day after day after day.
We actually ponied up for a subscription to his new venture, GBTV, which is
available. Not very expensive. It's about $50 a year.
Right.
You can do it for 2 weeks before they, ding your card, and we use PayPal, so they don't have access to our real accounts.
Yeah, but we wanted to see what he's talking about and what he is doing now that he's free of whatever restrictions Fox might have put on him. He seems on his radio program to be free to talk about just about whatever.
Pretty much whatever, but I still get the feeling that somewhere behind him are people telling him what direction to go.
Yeah.
Remember way back when, and I think we've talked about this before, way back when, it's probably 2 years ago or more, when he was on Fox, early in his show there, that he said something about, he teased in the morning on the Fox and Friends show, he teased that he would be doing a show that afternoon on the FEMA camps. He said, I didn't believe they existed, but we've done research on this, and you wouldn't believe what we found. Listen, people, they're real, and we're going to talk about them this afternoon. That afternoon, he not only didn't talk about them, he had a very odd clip where he looked at the camera and mouthed, "Help me, they're making me say this."
Yeah, which might have been him just trying to be funny, or it might have been sort of a backhanded way of him pretending to be funny while actually sending a message.
I don't know what it was. Don't All know. I know is he suddenly didn't do it, and he went in an entirely different direction toward the David Barton sort of almost religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're not talking about Christianity.
No, it was an interesting week. He did well. It only took him one day, we noticed, before he started comparing people who question the official story of 9/11 to radical Islamic terrorists.
Yes.
And then later in the week, and of course during the course of the week, they described the direct links, which do exist. It's historically documented between the Nazis of World War II and the Muslim Brotherhood. And from the Muslim Brotherhood, then to radical Islamic groups like Al-Qaeda and Hamas and Fatah and so forth, Palestinian Jihad. And then later in the week, they aired the what's the word I'm looking for, a documentary film that they produced on their trip to Europe to visit concentration camps. And so essentially, by extension, what he's saying is that people who question the official 9/11 story are equivalent to the people who built the concentration camps to gas 6 million Jews.
Well, I think to understand Glenn Beck, you really have to look at Mormon eschatology and what Mormons really are taught deep down. Beck has been a Mormon since 1999. Mm-hmm. He has had lots of time to study what Mormonism is really all about, which is where we get to David Barton aligning himself unequally and defending Beck. Now, if he were there to witness to Beck and made it clear that he understands Mormonism is a cult. They are worshiping a different Jesus. They believe Jesus is a created being. He is not eternal in the past. In other words, he had a definite beginning.
Right.
God created him at the same time he created his brother, Lucifer.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer under Mormon eschatology.
Yes.
Or Mormon doctrine.
Under Mormon doctrine.
Now, and Mormon eschatology has got an interesting twist,
too. That gets into some really interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. And it begins with the idea that Mormons really identify themselves as being the lost tribes. Mm-hmm. They see themselves as the new Israel, that when Jesus returns, they believe he's going to go to Independence, Missouri.
Or the county thereabout, but
exactly.
Roughly
somewhere
Missouri.
In there, yeah. Which is their what do they call it? The Adam something Adon. It has an actual name, and that event will actually begin Christ's Jesus. Well, I'm not sure they really call him the Christ. I guess they do. They consider him a Messiah, but it will be a time when Jesus judges the Mormon men and determines whether or not they are going to go on to become God of their own planet.
Yeah. And as an added insight into Glenn Beck and his evangelical approach toward restoring America to its the path established or blazed by the founding fathers of America, we go to an article written in November 1987 by Ezra Taft Benson, who was president of the Latter-day Saints at that time, article titled "Our Divine Constitution," in which he writes, and I quote, "I desire therefore to speak to you about our divine constitution, which the Lord said belongs to all mankind," and this is from, and then he cites, let's see, what is it, I want to get this correct, Doctrines and Covenants, section 98, verse 5, "and that law of the land, which is constitutional, supporting the principle of freedom and maintaining rights and privileges, belongs to all mankind and is justifiable before me." So they're citing this as holy writ, that the Constitution of the United States is divine. Going back and repeating, "the Lord said belongs to all mankind and should be maintained for the rights and protection of all flesh according to just and holy principles." The Constitution, according to official doctrine, as interpreted by Ezra Taft Benson 25 years ago or thereabouts, was that the Constitution is divine and should be preserved for all flesh.
Well, if you take that, now you know that. They consider the Constitution a sacred document. Now, Joseph Smith, supposedly before he died, and I say supposedly because this was written down several years after his death. So, you know, since it wasn't written down at the time with many witnesses, then there have been some who question it. But the two men who wrote it down said that they really heard him say these things. Well, I don't know if he did or not, but this is what many Mormons now are taught. And that's why it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph Smith supposedly had something called the White Horse Prophecy. In that prophecy, he said that a white man would come forward and would save the Constitution at a time when it was hanging by a thread, that in the last days before Jesus returned, that the Constitution would become shredded, it would be trampled upon, and that a white man would arise and he would save the country and the Constitution. There are some who claim that Mitt Romney is looked at as that white savior who will save the Constitution. I think some may say that Glenn Beck sees himself as that white savior.
Possible.
Who will save the Constitution. Glenn Beck and Orrin Hatch had a conversation that you can actually find on YouTube where they both use that phrase that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. That you and I might hear that and go, well, yeah, it is. But to a Mormon insider, they would hear that phrase and think, ah, White Horse Prophecy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And just to, again, to restate, this, at least according to Ezra Taft Benson, who was the 13th president of the Church of Latter-day Saints from 1985 until his death in 1994, was also Secretary of Agriculture, by the way, under Dwight D. Eisenhower. Says at the end of this piece called Our Divine Constitution, and again, I quote, I reverence the Constitution of the United States as a sacred document. To me, its words are akin to the revelations of God, for God has placed his stamp of approval upon it. I testify that the God of heaven sent some of his choicest spirits to lay the foundation of this government, and he has now sent other choice spirits to help preserve it, end quote. Again, this is from 1987. So,
That's really creepy word.
Well,
choice spirits, not yeah. Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Choice spirits
sent spirits to be yes to be born to in order to
oh humans you mean
yeah, yes sent spirits to be born into now if I understand this correctly and I am not expert on Mormon theology so forgive me for that
neither am I I've
but
been reading a lot about
in any case setting that aside the point is that the Constitution of the United States and thus the government of the United States at least according to Ezra Taft Benson and I again should know and don't know what the word of the president of the LDS has. I mean, does his word carry the same weight as say a papal bull, as when the Pope speaks, what is it? Ex cathedra.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know that for a fact. But we do know that the president of the LDS, 25 years ago, was saying that the Constitution of the United States and thus the form of government established by the Constitution was essentially created by God. Created by God.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mormon Church then would be, then it becomes a divine duty, a holy duty, a mission. We're on a mission from God to save and preserve the Constitution and the form of government of the United States, which sheds some insight, I think, into the fervor with which Glenn Beck is pursuing his mission and his emphasis on history and on the Constitution.
And the fact that he seemed to be equating the founding fathers with hope, faith, and charity.
Yes, yes. Interesting stuff, and interesting that that David Barton and other prominent evangelical Christians are aligning themselves with Glenn Beck in this mission.
Mm-hmm. I'm all for going to Israel. I love the fact that Americans, that those who claim the blood of Jesus Christ, and I really don't know that Glenn Beck has done that. If he really did that and had someone teaching him true doctrine, he would have publicly denounced this church.
Right.
But he has not done so. Mm-hmm. And he continues to call himself a Mormon. So I have to believe that his Jesus is not my Jesus.
And more to the point, David Barton has continued to defend his relationship with Glenn Beck.
And in fact, makes it sound as if there's no problem. Almost makes it sound like Mormonism is just another denomination.
And Glenn Beck this week did go out of his way to say, look, I'm not asking you to come out of your church. I'm just staying in your church as long as it's not, radical Islam. But as Christians, we can agree to, in fact, we are called to be good, upstanding, peaceful and law-abiding citizens of whatever nation we happen to live in. And we can cooperate with our neighbors on that basis, and we can work together for causes in which we have a shared interest, whether it be abortion or what have you. But as soon as you start making the focus of it, the reason for this activism, God, then as Christians, you have to say, you know, we agree with you on this particular point, but we as Christians see our highest calling not as the transformation of the culture, but of preaching the gospel and making disciples of all nations.
Ding, 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 ding. You got it.
This world is not my home. I'm just passing through.
Exactly. And it's so alluring.
Yes, it is.
That statement that, you know, we all need to pull together, mm-hmm. because that's what we're called to do. It's all about peace, isn't it? We want a peaceful world. We want to support the Jewish, people. We want to support Israel. I agree with that part. But for someone to say, if you just join with me now, mm-hmm. we may not quite worship the same way, or, I'm sorry, get thee behind me, Satan.
That's right. It's interesting. It's very similar, and this just occurred to me, to the appeal that Promise Keepers had for men.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
It was very much the same approach as Promise Keepers. We're not asking you to leave your church or change your denomination. Leave your doctrine at the door. All we want is that you believe in God. In fact, the Freemasons are pretty much the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to change your religion or your denomination.
It's the God of your choice, as long as you believe in something.
Believe in a God. But as Christians, we can't get around the statement by Jesus Christ that he is the truth, the way, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him, and that our calling as Christians is to share that good news, that gospel, with other people. The transformation of society will take place organically once hearts are changed.
Yes.
Now, that doesn't mean we divorce ourselves from society, that we withdraw into these little protected enclaves surrounded by walls to shut out all the bad stuff outside. That we can't interact with society and make disciples.
Okay, but the other part of that is not, you can't just say, if we win all the hearts to Jesus, that society will organically change. That's never going to happen.
Right, that's
not
true.
Not until Jesus himself is king on this earth of his kingdom. And even then, there will be those who rebel at the end of the 1,000 years.
That is correct.
So the idea that we can somehow form utopia is...
Luciferian.
It's anathema. Exactly. It's Luciferian. Luciferian.
Right. Because it depends on our works, the works of our hands, rather than what he has already accomplished and what he will
do. It's the Tower of Babel.
In fact, I had the conversation with Doug Woodward today about his new book, which is called Black Sun, Blood Moon. Can We Escape the Cataclysms of the Last Days? And Doug Woodward was one of the workshop presenters like us at Future Congress in Branson. Didn't have a chance to meet him face-to-face there because we were so busy, and so was he.
There were so many presenters, so many wonderful people there. You know what? The attendance was... What was the count we got? 600?
I think it was close to 700, but I'm not sure.
But
it
lots
was over
of people.
600.
We were just overwhelmed anytime we were in the hallways walking around, so it was a great time.
But the point was it was at... A misunderstanding or misinterpretation of eschatology, of end time prophecy, totally changes your walk as a Christian.
Yes.
If you are amillennial, you believe that there will be no millennial reign, that,
Is within us.
The kingdom
here
is
now.
Within us. It's here now. We're already in the millennium, mm-hmm. For example. Or if you believe that there... That Jesus, as with the dominion
preterist.
Now, if you're preterist, and that all this stuff already happened in AD 70,
which makes
was done
sense.
By AD 70, right? Or if like in dominion now theology, kingdom, dominionism, kingdom now theology, you believe that when Jesus returns, it will be
Manifest within the body
overcomers,
of Christ.
Right? Yes, with the many membered man child, the latter rain theology, that totally changes your walk today, because it again puts the responsibility on us
exactly
to change the world rather than his return changing the world.
Mm-hmm.
And according to scripture, we know that his return is going to happen,
and it may well happen in the next 2 weeks.
It may well,
because I think there's strong evidence that the rapture, and I believe, and I think you're coming around to that, I am a pre-trib believer. I believe that the next event that we are to watch for as believers, as Christians, is Christ's return. Our bridegroom is coming back, and I think there's strong evidence that Rosh Hashanah is when it's going to happen, and Rosh Hashanah is occurring, of course, in the next couple of weeks. It's around the 28th or so of September. I don't have the exact date. It's over, oddly enough, a three-year day from what I've read this year, rather than a two-day, over 2 days, but you don't know the day or the hour when Rosh Hashanah begins. You don't. So, and it often begins in the middle of the night, the time that a thief might be breaking in. You know, and then Jesus, he compares himself. He says, I'm coming as a thief in the night. That doesn't mean that his intentions are evil.
No, no.
That means he's coming to take something away that is of great value. We are the pearl of great price. We are the salt. We are the light. We will be taken out of this world, and suddenly the world will fall into darkness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, if you are those who don't believe in a literal return and catching away, a literal return of Christ, those who believe that we need to create the kingdom here on earth, either ourselves or as a prerequisite for Christ's return, mm-hmm. again, that changes your whole theology.
It does. Suddenly you're willing to work together with lots of people
right.
to manifest the end.
And that's why I think you're seeing so many prominent Christians who are willing to work together with a prominent Mormon,
mm-hmm.
Or perhaps more than one, toward that goal, because mm-hmm. they see that this is the only way Jesus is going to return, or this is the way we create the kingdom so that Jesus can return, or this is the way we set the stage for Christ to manifest himself in the overcomer,
it's
Joel's
okay.
army.
They'll help us get there, and when we finally do get there, we'll just kick them out.
Throw them under the bus, yeah. By the way, I did, you know, thanks to the online Book of Knowledge, according to the LDS Church's Doctrines and Covenants, the president of the church, you know, Ezra Taft mm-hmm. Benson, you know, through mm-hmm. his death, is the only man empowered to receive revelation for the entire church and to clarify doctrine. So in other words, essentially, it's
the Pope,
the Pope of Salt Lake City. And again, his statements on and the statements from Doctrines and Covenants about the Constitution.
Let me tell you something that William Schnoblin wrote, and I can't verify that this is true. He wrote it. I can verify that.
Mm-hmm.
But as to whether or not what he wrote is true, I don't know. Bill Schnoblin, you can decide whether or not, you know, he seems to me, I've never met him in person. He seems to me like a reputable guy. Have you met him?
No, we've just seen him on the Ancient of Days DVDs from
Guy Malone. Well, he's one of those little big man guys. He's done it all. He's mm-hmm. been a witch. He's been a warlock. He's been a Mormon. He's been, you know, you can fill
Freemason,
in the blank. Freemason.
Vampire. Seriously, he says he was a vampire.
Does he say he was a vampire?
Yes.
I shouldn't laugh because that's actually really serious. But
you can see the video online, interview with an ex-vampire.
Well, during his Mormon period, he was chatting with a guy in Washington, D.C., and Sam is just...
He's underneath his blanket, and he looks like two pigs fighting in a gunny sack over there. He's trying to get to an itch on his back,
oh,
I think.
You know what? He's had some really bad bites on his back, and they are very itchy.
Yeah, sorry.
Poor guy. I know what it's like to have a really itchy bite. I think the spiders are out there. We've got a lot of spiders in our backyard.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, Bill Schnoblin spent some time as a Mormon when he was in Washington, D.C. He said that a very high-level Mormon in Washington took him to the temple in Washington, to the Mormon temple. And one of the upper floors had a room that is closed to almost everybody. But if you know the right person, you're admitted. And Schnoblin says that he saw a room. Now, I may forgive me if I'm misquoting. He either said the man told him about the room. I don't have it in front of me. Or actually said, I saw the room. But he Schnoblin tells about a room in this temple that is an identical room to the Oval Office. And that supposedly this white horse prophecy, white president, he's just going crazy over there.
Yes, he is.
Will actually reign from that Oval Office, and that we'll be able to, and he'll actually be saying the things from the temple, which will give it a dual purpose. Anytime, let's say Mitt Romney gets in there, and he gives speeches,
or John Huntsman, for that matter. Yeah, exactly.
There are two. Well, let's face it, Huntsman doesn't have much of a chance. Romney has lots of connections
and a good chance, right?
And Romney's either father or uncle is someone that there is a connection between the Romney family and Beck's family, or Beck himself. But anyway, okay. Marion Romney, is that his name?
Sorry.
Brain is trying to go in two directions at the same time, and trust me, my brain should never be unequally yoked, because that's what it means when you're unequally yoked. One wants to go one direction, the other ox wants to go the other direction. Well, half my brain wants to go one way, the other half wants to go the other way. The Oval Office would essentially become the throne of the new kingdom.
Well, considering that the New Jerusalem is supposed to be in Independence, Missouri, that makes a lot of sense.
Exactly. I mean, they see America as the new Israel. They see it as the apple of God's eye, that God turned his face away from the land that we call Israel and looked here, and that the Indians were the lost tribes, and that the Mormons came in and they, you know, I don't know if they intermarried with them or what. They had lots of wives. Yeah. But by the way, if you are a Mormon wife, you have practically no rights.
You can get to heaven if your husband gets up there and decides you're worthy.
And calls your name.
Calls your name.
But anyway, Glenn Beck is preaching, you know, the return of and the renovation of the Constitution. And on Friday, he was supposed to have David Barton on for 2 hours. But mysteriously, Barton was only on for the first hour.
Yeah, the first hour. And then the second hour was that documentary that they showed on about their trip to the concentration camps in Germany or in Europe. So anyway, the bottom line here, I think, is that we're trying to watch and be discerning. And the thing that is so insidious, the thing that's so appealing about this, about Kingdom Now theology for a conservative Christian, as we've said before, is that we are understandably disturbed about the direction our nation, our world is going. But partnering with other religions when, you know, it's supposed to be, when it's in the name of God, whatever God you believe, that does, well, I'm sorry, just can't do that. I can't do that. I can love you as a neighbor, as a friend. We can work together for cultural causes, but if we're doing it in the name of God, we have to, as Christians, stop and say, which God? Because my first citizenship, we all hold dual citizenship here, and our principal, primary citizenship is in the kingdom of heaven.
Exactly, because when the two of you are sitting there together, and David Barton is saying God, and Glenn Beck is talking about God, trust me, they're two different beings.
Right.
Jehovah, according to Mormon doctrine, was a man at one time, a human being.
And again, Jesus was a created being, not the creator
which
who spoke the
world. Which means that Jehovah was a created being.
Yep.
That at one time he was on another planet, and he got chosen to be, you know, God of this planet.
Yeah, so it's a different God, and as Christians we cannot get around that if we are.
Sam says, Mom, Dad, just let it go.
Yeah, if we're being called to act in the name of God as Christians, we have to stop and ask that question. So anyway, other things taking place out there.
What was the thing you were telling me about earlier about the marriage between the two
camps? Yeah, I was going right there. Kind of a segue.
Good man.
Speaking of dominion theology, Sharon needs to step aside to help Sam get underneath the binky. Dr. Oral Steinkamp, who was a guest on A View from the Bunker last year, and has written and researched dominion theology extensively for decades, and has been publishing articles through the Discernment Research Group at the Heroscope blog over the last couple of years, has a new piece that's been posted, was just posted Friday the 16th of September, about a marriage made on earth, a political parable, talking about political Perry and his betrothed, Dominique, representing, of course, dominionism, dominion theology. And the opening paragraphs read as follows. Political Perry has proposed marriage to Dominique, by which he means the new apostolic reformation and the IHOP apostles and prophets, self-anointed and self-appointed. And she has accepted. Political Perry chose for his beloved from a fringe evangelical clan of descendants of the long-forgotten Pentecostal clan called Latter Rain. Many among the various clans of evangelicals haven't even heard about Dominique or even the clan Latter Rain. But many evangelicals are just content to know that Dominique is from conservative stock and has no relatives among the liberals. James Dobson, leader of a conservative evangelical political action group, greatly revered and known to all the evangelical clans, attended the engagement party in the Reliant Stadium. His presence sealed the deal for those who were not aware of Dominique's family. His approval ensured that this marriage partner was free of any abortion advocates and homosexual relatives. And it goes on from there. And again, it's a story which refers to the event at Reliant Stadium in Houston, the first weekend in August, at which Governor Rick Perry hosted a prayer rally. But the people behind the rally, organizing it and promoting it, were from the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, which is the wellspring of this new apostolic reformation. These people who believe that they literally are the government God will use to rule planet Earth. In other words, to, you know, borrow from Pinky and the Brain, their plan tomorrow, same as it was yesterday, try to take over the world.
Yeah.
Rick Perry has aligned themselves with this group, whether knowingly or not, I don't know. But the message that he recorded at the website before the event in Houston made reference to Joel chapter 2, which, of course, is the chapter of the book of Joel referencing the demonic army that takes over the world, which is being promoted by this new apostolic reformation as the army that will actually cleanse the earth of unbelievers. It's supposed to be the, you know, the many-membered man-child that will go forth and you know, God's army.
They look, totally chilling.
It is chilling. And either Perry doesn't know what he's doing or he does. And either way, it's creepy. Now, yeah. Will Rick Perry win the presidency? Don't know. Honestly, I think a lot of independent voters out there are going to be turned off by such open displays of evangelicalism, which, again, as an evangelical Christian, as a conservative Bible-believing Christian, is disturbing to me because when you look back 50, 60, 70 years, there were presidents praying all over the place in public and nobody thought anything about it. Nowadays,
it was normal.
It was normal. Nowadays, something like what Rick Perry did in August is considered aberrant, bizarre, in our modern society. And as Christians, we're disturbed by that. And immediately, reflexively, instinctively, we want to side with him because, hey, we should be allowed to pray in public.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we should. But we also need to be discerning. What's he praying for? What's he praying about? He's praying about, okay, restoring. Okay, that's good. That's good. Now, who are the people he's praying with? Oh, they want to take over the world because they believe they're supposed to rule the world for God so Jesus can return. Time out. We need to be that discerning. It's tough. It's difficult.
It is. It really is. And I suspect that one of the reasons. No, it is not. I suspect that otherwise you and I might, you know, who knows? Maybe we'd rule the world.
Well, you know, the fact is, 10 years ago, when George W. Bush started running for president and he started talking about Jesus, like, hey,
I know.
You one of ours.
Both,
yes.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Finally, one of ours is getting some traction.
But you know what? I think it was 9/11. I may have been a little bit before that, that you and I started questioning some of the things that he was saying and doing. Mm-hmm. But 9/11 killed it for me. I mean, it was so clearly. It was only a few days later that you and I were looking at that and saying, wait a minute.
The official story doesn't add up. Yeah.
This is very unsettling. Back to the idea that Glenn Beck is, I think, promoting, and I think he's out. I really believe, I have this sense that there is money behind him. He keeps saying, mm-hmm. I've spent every dime I have to do this. Well, I can't imagine that you've got that many dimes, Mr. Beck, that you were able to buy up, you know, space or rent space for, you know, 2 or 3 years in advance in the Mercury Theater in New York. This is a famous building mm-hmm. that he took over, and he has a very slick. I mean, it's just as good as any Fox or CNN or anything. His set, his staff is young. They're hip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're looking to get your kids.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
want, in fact, they had a couple of days where the audience was essentially college Republicans. Young men and women who mm-hmm. looked, you know, very clean cut, and all they were trying to do was promote the Tea Party on their campus.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, well, one guy said that somebody threw a snowball at him.
Yeah, hit me with an ice ball.
Yeah. You sure they did that because you were putting up a flyer for the Tea Party?
Well, what other reason?
What other reason would they have had? I tell you what, it has been very...
It's stomach churning
yeah. to watch these shows.
It's pretty well done. And again, one of the reasons it's so bothersome to us, the reason we find it disturbing, is because we agree with a lot of what Glenn Beck has to say about mm-hmm. the direction of the country and about the need for Americans to turn back to God. But as Christians, we have to say, look, if you're going to bring God into this, we have to stop and say, which God are you talking about?
Amen.
So,
amen. Well, anyway. I have to say that this is a bit of a left turn, but it really is not, because it really does enter in. You and I spent a lot of the last week mm-hmm. when we had extra time, which you have very little. I could have more. I'd like to have more extra time, but I don't have nearly the hours in the day that I wish I had. We've been spending some of that watching a program that was on NBC last summer, and mm-hmm. it was canceled after the 13th episode. And I think that it was canceled not because they didn't promote it, which I don't think they did, honestly.
I don't remember seeing
it. It was one of those odd little in-your-face meme shows mm-hmm. that... Trust me, it is worth your time to watch it.
Yeah.
If you have a Netflix account and you can, or another account, Amazon may have it too. If you have an account where you can go on and stream this either online or on your set-top mm-hmm. box, please do this. The show is called Persons Unknown,
mm-hmm.
and it is created, and some of the shows are written by the same gentleman who did the Usual Suspects.
Yeah, yeah. Which
written.
The audio clip with which we open each show was taken from the Usual Suspects.
Yeah.
Christopher McQuarrie and his wife Heather, or at least I assume she's his wife, Heather McQuarrie, maybe sister, I don't know, but I presume they're married. They created the show and produced it, 13 episodes. Left it hanging at the end of this 13th episode. There are a lot of really in-your-face memes. Lost meets the prisoner, right. A group of people wake up in a hotel unexpectedly. People just, I was at work and suddenly I wake up here.
Exactly. It's all about mind control,
right.
And it is very well done.
Yeah. So, Sharon's watched most of the episodes twice now. I still haven't gotten all the way through the
13. I'm going to watch them a third time. I mean, there's so much in there.
Yeah. I mean, the one episode where the young lady who was essentially pimped out by her father, very powerful man, is sent a gift by the management of the hotel, which turns out to be a butterfly, and the butterfly emerges, and it's a monarch. Like, mm-hmm. okay, monarch. Mind control, CIA programming.
Oh,
okay,
it's
clever.
It's just chock full of it. It's all over the place. So that if you're looking for something to occupy your mind in the evenings or whatever this week.
Yeah. Lost meets the prisoner.
13 episodes. Yes. Yeah. That's exactly how I would describe it. Well, how did the Day of Rage go?
Well, according to the New York Post, only about 300 protesters showed up for the Day of Rage. Far fewer than the expected.
300?
Yes. The 300! Yeah, far fewer than the 20,000 expected.
Yeah, well, now, they were protesting Wall Street on a day that Wall Street is closed.
Yeah. I mean, if you hold a protest and no one's there to hear it, does it really matter? Well, got to be back at work.
They had
on
some nice smoothies.
Yeah, and I watched some of it as it was being streamed live on TV, or streamed live to the web. Livestream.com, I think, had a feed. And I couldn't really get a sense for how many people were there because it was at ground level. You didn't get any overhead shots of the crowd. So at ground level, all you saw were people walking around. And when you're only looking through the lens of the camera, you get, what, a 60-degree wide field of vision. You can't really tell how many people are there. People were angry. I was watching the live stream, the feeds on Twitter, and searching for the hashtags, take Wall Street and hashtag Day of Rage. And a lot of people were complaining that Twitter was blocking the hashtag on the trending.
We should be trending.
Chart. Yeah, we should be trending. No, I'm sorry. Apparently, a lot more people were interested in hashtag Justin Bieber for president than hashtag Take Wall Street or hashtag Day of Rage. So they literally complained that Twitter was blocking the feed. And who knows? Maybe they were. We know that Twitter has participated at the request of the Department of State and presumably mm-hmm. other darker agencies
well,
within the
United States government. Let's face it. Whatever is trending over there, if you're someone that goes onto Twitter and you just, oh, that's trending, I'll just hit that and mm-hmm. and go there. Well, they're controlling you. They're yeah. telling you where to look.
Exactly right. So it's very possible that they were. But don't know. New York Post says, you know, fewer than 500 people, who are, you know, in the alternative media are complaining. Oh, you know, Fox and CNN and MSNBC were they blacklisted it. They were ignoring it. The thousands of people were there. Well, maybe they didn't choose to cover it because there was no there.
Exactly.
There was no story.
Come on. I look. It's not something that I would like to happen. But I mean, if they really wanted to be angry and have yeah. a day of rage. Do it on a Friday, people, or on a Monday. Do it when Wall Street's actually there.
Well, they didn't want to make anybody angry.
No, they didn't, did they? they also wanted to sleep in because it didn't start until 1 o'clock.
Exactly, yeah. It wasn't exactly a day of get up early. And yeah. So even though police had barricaded the charging bull statue on Wall Street
mm-hmm.
and the New York Stock Exchange, anticipating that there might be trouble, apparently the barricades were not needed. That's according to the New York Post. So... but yeah, when you go to other sites, most Americans are being kept in the dark about the U.S. Day of Rage by the corporate cable news giants at CNN, Fox News, and MSNBC. Okay, we get that the corporate media will filter what we actually get to see, but sometimes, you know, a banana is just a banana.
Yeah, so, or a cigar is just a cigar.
Here's a story that, right, that's what I meant. Sometimes... There are stories that should be reported that don't get through, like the fact that the United States has lost track of tons of weapons-grade plutonium. This is according to Noah Schachtman at Wired.com.
That's bad.
Yeah, published on the 16th. And we talked about this before, about how Los Alamos had lost, 660 pounds. We mm-hmm. reported on this a couple yes. of years ago. It was in the San Francisco Chronicle. Well, Wired is saying that the Government Accountability Office issued late last Friday afternoon, which would be September 9th, to little fanfare, thousands of pounds of highly enriched uranium and separated plutonium remain unaccounted for. Okay, now this is a couple of years after President Obama, in April of 2009, announced a new international effort to secure all vulnerable nuclear material around the world within 4 years. So we're halfway through that period now, better than halfway through, and we still have tons of highly enriched uranium and plutonium floating around out there. U.S. cannot track or fully account for 5,900 pounds of weapons-usable nuclear material that it once shipped overseas. Well, this is not the same stuff that they just misplaced at Los Alamos. This is stuff we actually sent to countries like Germany. Let's see here. Where else did we? Japan, France. And this stuff has just gone missing. So nearly 3 tons outstanding of weapons-grade nuclear fissile material.
We feel sick about it.
Yeah.
I really do. Well, you know what? Obama is going to have to make a big decision this week because I think it's Friday, September the 23rd.
Yeah.
He's going to have to make a decision as to whether or not the United States supports Palestine's bid to become an official
yeah.
member of the United Nations.
Mm-hmm. And not quite sure what direction he's going to go there. I saw a headline at Drudge that said the veto that mm-hmm. that shaped the world or shook the world or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite sure. I didn't read
Here's
the article,
how it works.
So I don't know.
The entire assembly can vote on this, but it has to be approved by the Security Council, which I think has 15 members, and there are 5, I think, members that have veto power. Mm-hmm. The United States is one of them. So in other words, any of those 5 members can say, no matter what everybody else says, I don't like it, it's not going to happen. If that happens, then if there's a veto, then Palestine cannot become an official member.
Mm-hmm.
But the General Assembly, body can vote them in and have them be an unofficial, a non-voting member. If they want to be a full member, then the Security Council has to give them the stamp of approval.
Right.
The United States is the only one that would possibly veto, because everybody else has essentially said, that looks good to me.
Sure. And the headline at Drudge links to an article at AFP, the French press agency, mm-hmm. that the Saudi government has essentially said that, hey, look, if you veto this, our special relationship will have to be reevaluated. So Saudi cooperation in the war on terror, such as it is, would be under review mm-hmm. by the government, by the kingdom. So that could be what Drudge meant, the veto that could change the world. Mm-hmm. If we veto, which politically I think President Obama would have to do, because, I mean, let's face it, a majority of the Jewish population of the United States tends to vote Democratic.
Exactly. And they're really scrambling for every Jewish vote right now.
Yes, because the president is his hit an all-time low as far as his approval ratings.
Mm-hmm.
He's still ahead of Congress, but, you know, that doesn't really matter, because when you look at the numbers on Congress, Americans in general vote thumbs down on Congress as a whole, but will then, when asked about their congressman, our guy's doing fine.
Well, and Anthony Weiner's seat was just taken by
Republican
for the first time ever, I think.
70 years.
Okay, yeah. Long time mm-hmm. that a Republican is in that seat. And the word is that it's primarily because that's a primarily Jewish constituency there.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, look, we don't like Obama. We don't like the way you're leaning. And so we're going to put a Republican in there because he's going to represent something that actually supports Israel. The Democrats are starting to diss Israel in public. They've been doing it behind closed doors for mm-hmm. a long time.
Sure.
And now they're actually doing it out in the open. And I think that it's very possible that the U.S. will not veto this.
It will be very interesting to watch. So again, that's coming up on the 23rd, something to watch. And meanwhile, while that's going on, forces in the Mediterranean Sea from Israel, Turkey, and Greece, air and sea, are on alert, on mm-hmm. guard, as Cyprus begins to drill for gas.
Oh, Israel's been calling up reservists.
Yeah. Turkish airplanes, warplanes, and fighters have been keeping watch over a rig called the Homer Farrington, which is owned by Noble Energy out of Houston, Texas. It's been moved from Israel's offshore field opposite Ashdod to the Aphrodite block off of Cyprus.
Hmm.
Interesting. And this is the first time since the incident back in May of last year, the Mavis Marmara, where mm-hmm. yeah, Israeli
the
forces
Gaza,
boarded,
yeah.
Right, yeah, the Gaza relief ship, that Turkish warships have come within 80 kilometers of Israel's territorial waters. So,
well, they claim that they're there so that if there's another flotilla coming through that Israel can't board them,
mm-hmm.
that Turkish ships will stop that from happening. This is so dangerous. I mean, literally, the Middle East is ready to erupt. And I think that Friday's vote could have a huge impact on which way things go.
Mm-hmm.
And it may erupt no matter what. Because we know, according to prophecy, that the nations that are currently lining up against Israel will invade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We know that
Psalm
for a fact.
Psalm 83, right. Mm-hmm.
Well, and Ezekiel 38. I mean, you've got Psalm 83, and then later on you've got
Ezekiel 38. Right.
So are those two separate wars? Do they occur
one after
the other?
I don't know.
It's hard to say, but I mean, these are countries that even Jordan has come out and said Jordan and Egypt are the two countries in there that have had peace treaties with Israel. Egypt, with their transitional government, has essentially said, you know what, that's really not a sacred document. So we're going to have to revisit that treaty. I don't know. I'm not sure if we're mm-hmm. bound by that. And the King of Jordan has come out and said his peace treaty is not etched in stone either.
Mm-hmm.
He may be backing off that treaty.
We know that Turkey and Israel, which had been conducting joint military exercises for years, that those were canceled by the Turks this year. They conducted them with China instead. As another interesting data point, Greece and Israel, and of course Greece and Turkey, have been squabbling over Cyprus for years.
Since the 70s.
Yeah. Greece and Israel concluded a mutual defense pact on September 4th of this year, and it has been activated as of the 14th, so just this past week, this past Wednesday, in light of this new gas drilling on Cyprus. Apparently, the area which is being drilled borders on the Israeli field that they've been exploring. So it's
you know, and Greece has enough troubles of their own. They're really trying to stay afloat there.
Mm-hmm.
Greece is literally ready to go bankrupt, go belly up. And Merkel, who has essentially, it's come down to Germany as to whether or not the EU banking system is going to bail out Greece again. They've already bailed them out once or twice. Mm-hmm. Whether or not they step in and continue to do that, Germany is just about said, let them fail.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and of course, we've got the rogue traders.
UBS. But just looking at this, and again, this a lot of this information is coming from Debka.com, which is that Israeli news site that we talk about. Just things that have developed over the last week. The Turks have landed troops in North Cyprus, along with drilling equipment. So what does all this mean? Well, many are going to watch when this, what happens beginning tomorrow, the 19th, mm-hmm. as drilling begins off of Cyprus. The Turkish prime minister is kind of in a corner, according to the analysts. Right. According to the analysts. So tomorrow being Monday the 19th, drilling begins. The Turkish prime minister, according to Debka, has painted himself into a corner if he orders his Navy or Air Force to strike an American rig.
Yes.
He will have to take the consequences, possibly a confrontation with the U.S., Israel, Greece, and Cyprus. If he does nothing, he loses face as a leader able to back up his threats. He could take a third course like other Muslim rulers and just vent his ire on Israel. The guessing in Washington, NATO, and Israel, according to Debka, is that the most likely arena for a potential clash of arms in the Mediterranean is offshore Cyprus, most likely to evolve into a sea and air confrontation involving Turkey, Greece, Cyprus, and Israel. So, something to watch for this coming week as Israel, just finds itself ever more surrounded by enemies.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Well, before we leave, I just want to say one more time, Jesus is coming back soon. He really is. If it's not this year, it's going to be soon. So please not only keep watch and keep praying for all the people in your family. This day may be the last chance you have to share Christ with others. Mm-hmm. This week may be the last chance. You may have 2 weeks left, but live every day as if that's your last opportunity, because it isn't just Christ coming back. You have an expiration date. I know I say this a lot, but we all do. I have my whole life believed that I would live to see Christ's return. I may turn out to be wrong. It could be that feeling is simply wrong. If Christ does not come back before my expiration date, I will go on to meet him that way.
Mm-hmm.
Please take this week, take time, think about if today were your last chance to share Christ with others, what would you do? How would you change your approach to your day? And get in the Word. Boy, if Jesus Christ is our bridegroom, and he is, then we need to read the letters that he's written to us.
Amen.
He loves us so much, and he wrote those letters so that we could read them day after day. When Derek and I were we met on the internet, and we shared emails back and forth, and we still have those emails, and I pull them out sometimes, and I read them, even though I see him every day. Well, look, Jesus is with us. And, he said he would never leave us alone. He would never leave us. He sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to be with us. But we will be in his presence soon. So why not get excited about it?
Mm-hmm.
Start reading the letters he's written to us. Read God's Word every day. And it'll help you to understand what it is he wants you to do now.
Yeah, and the promise that we have that regardless of what's happening, and he's warned us that there would be trials and tribulations, that this is not an easy path we're walking,
mm-hmm.
but he's prepared a place for us in his Father's house, many mansions.
Amen, amen. I got to tell you, it is so heavy on my heart. And that's why I keep saying this, you know, each broadcast I try to say these things to you. Our time is so short. Please, please, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, I beg of you, you need Him. Choose Him today. And it's so easy to do. He died for you. God says that because man sinned, every one of us is born into a sinful body. We are automatically sinners. No, we may not, as you know, in the first few days commit a sin, but I got to guarantee you, it's part of our DNA to sin. And because of that, if you cannot yourself live a sinless life, which you can't, only one man did, and that's Jesus Christ. If you cannot do it, then you have a penalty you have to pay. And the penalty for that is eternal death. I don't want that for you. You don't want that for you. For goodness sake, do you want that for your children? You need to get to know Jesus Christ. Read His Word. Read the book of John. Learn about why Jesus Christ is God incarnate. Why only He could take your place. Why only He could pay that price on Calvary. And why His blood is capable of cleansing you of all unrighteousness. And therefore, you won't have to go to eternal death. You won't have to go to hell itself. You can go to heaven. You will be with Jesus forever, and you will reign with Him. I mean, I got to tell you, the promises for Christians, the promises for those who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, who have our names written down the book in life, written down in the book of life, we have so many wonderful things ahead of us. This life here on earth is nothing compared to any of that. It's like a snap of my fingers compared to what's ahead of us. So I beg of you, if you don't know Christ, read the book of John. Please read the book of John. And if at the end of it you don't understand and you have questions, send us an email, radio@peeringintodarkness.com. We will answer your questions. But if at the end of the book of John or somewhere in there, the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, all you have to do is ask Jesus to be your Savior. Just say, please help me. I believe you. Just show me how to become what you want me to be. And you know what? He's going to change your life. Because from that very second that you accept Christ as your Savior, your name is written down in the book of life, and your entire destination has been changed. You've been upgraded.
From persons unknown to persons known.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So forgive me for preaching, but like I said, it is heavy on my heart. I'm saying to you that the time is short. Well, God's been saying to me the time is short. And that's why I feel so compelled. This is our ministry. This is the way we speak. This is the way we share. And I got to tell you, I love you. Jesus loves you. He wants you to know Him. Why not accept Him today?
Amen. Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon. To
guess I'm